Part two of the rookie rankings discussion on the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend Tyler Rowe, and today we are getting into the wide receivers and tight ends that you, dynasty managers, and eventually redraft managers, will need to know about heading into this coming season. The NFL draft is very soon. By the time that you're hearing this, it is already April. We're in the month where it's going to take place. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it so fun? Oh my gosh. So much to get into. Tyler, why don't we just kick it right off? Let's talk about these wide receivers in the 2026 class. I think a lot of people have the same group of at least four players in some particular order in their top five, and then things get a little bit interesting. But for you, who are your top five guys in this class? And if you have any favorites that you want to highlight specifically, shout them out, go for it. All you, baby.
Let's go to the top five, and then I'll just start off with why I got number one at one. So Jordan Tyson stays at wide receiver one for me, and he's been there for a while. Feels a little more contentious, obviously, because of the combine or lack thereof. Let's put it that way. And a lot of times it's in football or fantasy football. It's what have you done for me lately? What have I seen lately? That matters a lot, and I get it. I absolutely get it. But I also think there might be in five or six of these guys going in the first round, so it's not necessarily like the two and three guys have, you know, improved their lot too much. I'll jump into it. I could go all day. Jordan Tyson, number one. Carnell Tate, number two. Mekhi Lemon, number three. And I will tell you, similar to how it's like, you could, if you listen to the last podcast, I was talking about how Jadarian Price and Mike Washington Jr. were 2-3. And like, Herms, right now, you could talk me into flipping them. I feel the same way about Carnell Tate, Mekhi Lemon, where you could talk to me on this show and you can make me flip Mekhi Lemon and Carnell Tate. That's how closely they are for me. Number four is KC Concepcion. Feel really solid about that. And five, I'm going Omar Cooper Jr. Boston just barely misses out here for me. I feel really good. Again, that is going to be Tyson, Tate, Lemon, Concepcion, Cooper, my top five. I want to talk about Jordan Tyson, but I'm also curious of your top five. So give me your top five and let me go into Tyson, because I think it could help drive the conversation. What are your ranks, my man?
Very similar group, slightly different order. I have it Mekhi Lemon, USC, at number one. There are some reasons why that we can get into. Then I also have Carnell Tate, Ohio State, at number two. Then rounding out my top five is Jordan Tyson, the guy we're going to keep talking about here, KC Concepcion, and then Omar Cooper Jr. So neither of us has Denzel Boston in our top five.
It's nice, man. It's nice when we don't check with each other beforehand. So we have done it in the past. But this time we have not checked in with each other. It's just nice when we're in lockstep. I think last time we were doing like a dynasty like ranking show, and we were like wildly in the same spot with a lot of players. So it's good to see. So let's start with Jordan Tyson. As obviously he's your wide receiver three. He's my wide receiver one. You know, obviously injury here, lack of combine is hurting him. Can't pretend like that's not a factor here. And I don't necessarily think he's the fastest guy in the world. Like the speed is not going to light up the radar gun. But I just look at a couple things here. One is his ability, you know, at the release. Let's call it his release package. It's great. Route running is savvy. Great separation that I think the stopwatch or the 40 gun, whatever you want to call it, cannot essentially measure, right? I've watched him work corners over, and you see a guy who I think has genuinely studied the wide receiver position. Basketball background shows up in terms of contested catch, boxing people out. And I just, you know, it's tough. Like, we have three different injuries across three seasons, knee, collarbone, hamstring. Like, doctors, you know, might be earning their paychecks with this one, but I'm willing to take the risk. If the medicals check out, which I know NFL teams invest a lot of money and time in, and if those check out and team takes him in the first, which I think is going to happen, I'm pretty comfortable keeping him here. And I think it's fine to be like, oh, Tyler, we're worried about injury. But if an NFL team is willing to invest a top 16, top 18 pick in this guy, we got to understand, like, hey, like, things are probably okay from a medical side for a team to be able to do that. He's just versatile, man. You know, he's produced from the outside, from the slot, in motion. He blocks well. You know, film room is just going to go nuts over this guy. So I think coaching staffs are going to love him. I think he just can do everything you need him to do. Legitimate wide receiver one who can win at all three levels. I think the floor is high with what I've seen. The concerns aren't enough you know, it's a risk aversion question, I think, for me when people are out on Tyson. I'm not saying you're out at three, but it's a risk aversion thing, and I'm willing to take the risk here with Tyson with the medicals and some inconsistencies, because what I've been able to see on tape, it's nice, man. He's up there for me.
No, and it makes a lot of sense. And he's also a guy that I think can move around a lot, which is going to be very key. One of the things that I do kind of have concerns about with my number one guy, Mekhi Lemon, is the fact that he might just be pigeonholed a little bit into being a slot only player, or maybe not slot only, but he did spend 75% of the time in the slot in college. So that is something I'm a little bit worried about. Of all the guys that are, you know, sort of in the top three that we have outlined together, I think Tyson is the one that is the most versatile. I think Tate is somebody who's probably going to just sit out on X Island and kind of just do his own thing over there. So I'm not necessarily married to the position of any of these guys in that top three. And the more I think about it and the more I kind of hear you talking about it, the argument for Tyson as wide receiver one kind of makes a lot more sense. As far as some of these other guys go, though, you know, the Tates, the Concepciones, the Coopers, is there anybody specifically that you want to maybe highlight a little bit more?
I mean, I guess, like, I want to put it back on you, because, like, I have Mekhi Lemon at three. You have him at one. And, like, again, let's have a conversation. Like, I want to ask you, Herms, like, why is Mekhi Lemon sitting at one for you?
I think for me, one of the things that I'm very guilty of in the grand scheme of things when it comes to looking at prospects and stuff is I like these guys that are going to run out of the slot. And it ties into something that I researched for an article that came out in early February for the site. I was just looking back at people who finished within the top 50 of PPR points per game last year, and just the sheer number of them who ran at least 30% of their routes from the slot was pretty remarkable. It was 56% of the top 50, 50% of the top 24, and like two-thirds of the dudes who finished inside the top 12. Like, it's a very important thing to be able to do, because you're going to get a lot of those defender mismatches. It's not always going to be the strongest opponent covering you when you're running out of the slot versus out wide, where you're probably going to be facing a lot more of the top corners in the NFL. It's not true for every defense, obviously. There are very elite slot corners and whatnot, but that's just kind of the thing that I look for with Mekhi Lemon. He is the most skilled attacking in that part of the field that I really like. And I hesitate to make the player comp because it's lazy and it's very helmet scouty and it's not at all. It maybe sounds a little bit hyperbolic, but like, I just get those Amon-Ra St. Brown vibes. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown
vibes. It's fair, man. I like the guy too. And I think one of the more important things when you kind of mention that or talk about that with him is, he's good with the contested catches too, which I think is just a nice bonus there from working where he works in the field. And it's funny here is I mocked Carnell Tate, number six to the Cleveland Browns. So we can both just preemptively move Carnell Tate to the wide receiver three, knowing that the Browns are now going to be taking Carnell Tate and keeping them off our radar and just keep our top two, Mekhi Lemon and Jordan Tyson. Are we in agreeance?
Yeah. You know, the only thing I would say very quickly about Carnell Tate is just the people who are still mad about him running a 4.53 second 40 yard time need to calm down. That's the only thing that I really want to hammer out.
Yeah. There's nothing surprising about that. If you watch the guy play, like, come on, people. I'm absolutely with you on that. It's crazy because I think there is a Chris Olave comp there. And again, it's funny because you talk about scouting the helmet with the USC thing, but I do see that. Like, it's like, let's talk about if we're going to scout the helmet. Like, he's not Garrett Wilson. He's more so Olave. Wins with precision, timing, football IQ, rather than just being a draw drop athlete. Want to talk about KC Concepcion just a little bit. Because I feel like these top three wide receivers are pretty much on everybody's radar. But, you know, I think everyone else, we can talk and have a conversation about why are these guys here. I've seen a lot of different names at wide receiver before. You know, I think he's Concepcion. Super explosive, you know, within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. Great ability to separate, right? He's one of those guys where, you know, the combine speed was a good data point, opens the door to some perimeter work, even though slot, I think, remains his most natural home. Probably where it's going to be, but, like, you know what? Everyone was talking about, like, I don't have this as a comp, but everyone was talking about, like, Igbuka as a slot guy in some ways. But we saw that he's able to do some of the outside stuff, and I think that's similar to what KC Concepcion is able to do, where people are going to kind of peg him as more of, you know, you know, in one spot, but he can kind of do more than you think. He's more versatile. I guess that's the best way I could put that. He's more versatile than people are giving him credit for. I think some concerns are a little, you know, legitimate. Maybe there's a little bit of drop issues in traffic, struggling to adjust at times, but I think he can consistently separate. And to me, that's one of the most important aspects of being a wide receiver, especially at the NFL level, is a lot of these wide receivers can get by on athleticism or get by on one or two traits and then get to the NFL. And as a wide receiver in the NFL, if you can't separate, and there's a lot of ways to separate, like there's speed, there's technique, there's, you know, getting out of your breaks. But like, at the end of the day, I do believe Concepcion is a wide receiver who can separate. And for that reason, you know, I don't have him as an alpha wide receiver, but like there are multiple NFL teams that I believe that KC Concepcion could be the wide receiver two on and find success.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, worst case scenario, if all of you listeners out there have never seen any footage of him in the return game, just as a return specialist, KC Concepcion is elite at doing that. I mean, like, even if the offensive stuff never works out, he will have a role on an NFL team doing that at a minimum. But you know, to your point, though, one of the things that I highlighted, because I took Concepcion in the Dynasty Startup Mock Draft that we recently did, full article on that on ftnfantasy.com if you want to check out the whole thing. Concepcion, 34.4% of his routes from the slot last year. I think you're right. People do kind of have this idea about him, but he does move around. I'm a big fan. I hope it works out for him. Honestly, if the Steelers don't go with Ty Simpson in the, you know, 20 whatever pick it is that we have in the first round, I wouldn't mind Concepcion personally.
And then Omar Cooper Jr., like, we're on lockstep there at five, which I don't think is consensus. What is it you like about him? Let's, like, I, you know, I'm wouldn't be surprised to see if it's very similar, but Herms, want to give you a little bit of light here. Is like, why do you have Omar Cooper Jr. at five?
No offense to Cooper, but honestly, it's a little bit more about me not having Denzel Boston in the top five than it is about Cooper. Just because if you didn't hear the episode that we did with our good friend John Arrington over at DLF, listeners, definitely go check that out if you want some more prospect talk. The fact that we didn't see him test and the fact that he does still have some of those, you know, sort of question marks, and I'm not entirely sure how he'd be used in the NFL either, because he is a little bit of a bigger dude, but was kind of deployed a little bit uniquely in that Washington offense. I just don't know how a lot of it is going to necessarily map out to the next level, but yeah, I don't know. But not the cleanest answer in the world, because I didn't really talk too much about Cooper, but again, just to reiterate, it's a little bit less about the fact that, like, I like him. I think he's pretty good. It's just questions that I have about some of the other guys that maybe I just don't have as many about him, if that makes sense.
No, that's super fair. I'm just kind of curious. I know what's funny is I kind of feel the same way, where I just, he kind of slots in there. I think he's going to go in the end of the first round, and I just like him a lot more than Boston. I think the tape is good. No, I think slot might be his more natural home. It fits better next to a boundary wide receiver who commands top coverage, but I've seen enough to where I'm like, I kind of like this guy. I think the NFL is going to like him too.
Are there any other names outside of the top five that you have, you know, tabbed as just a guy that you think could be really good in a specific role? Maybe, you know, some sort of quote unquote sleeper in the class. I know that there are definitely a couple that I want to mention, but I want to give you the opportunity first.
You know, one guy that I've, you know, as I do my ranks and kind of put everything out there, trying to figure out like, hey, what's going on here? What's going to kind of make the most sense? Jacoby Lane is a wide receiver that I found myself like liking, I think, more than people. I'm not saying that, you know, he's in my top five or anything, but I have him above what I would consider like the consensus out there at this moment. You know, I think he wins at the catch point pretty well, does the little things well, like tempo changes, able to kind of fake people out to be able to kind of freeze corners and make sure he's able to stay open, explosive. I look at what he was able to kind of do in terms of his production and what he put out there. Again, not necessarily sitting here telling you like, hey, I love this guy. He's sitting there, I believe, at wide receiver eight for me. But that's much higher than a lot of folks have him. So he's a guy I'm looking out for. He's a guy I'm keeping on the radar.
No, he was one of the names that was really fun to watch in Mobile. Just the fact that, like, through the first, you know, however many practice sessions, I was kind of a little bit worried. Like, I can see the vision, but more of just a guy that I think is just going to, you know, kind of stretch the field, do a lot of that kind of work, maybe only get like 3-4 targets a game in an offense type thing. I was a little bit nervous about this way that translates to fantasy, or, you know, kind of doesn't. Those players are a little bit more good for an NFL team, maybe not so much for fantasy. But then I got to say, some of those combine drills, but like especially in the gauntlet, his performance of that was absolutely incredible. And he did a little bit more, you know, sort of intermediate level routes in a lot of those drills and stuff, too. He showed a lot more diversity than I was kind of expecting. I think I'm with you. He's a guy that's been kind of rising for me a little bit. Jacoby Lane is a pretty interesting name. And hey, both USC guys, always fun to have a tandem when it comes to the NFL draft stuff. Any other ones you want to throw out?
Nah, man, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm feeling like we can move on to the tight ends and put this thing to rest.
Sounds like a plan. Of course, obligatory shout out to Malachi Fields from Notre Dame. I think he is very good. I don't care what anybody says. That is my last take on the receivers. But yes, into the tight ends we go.
Hey, everyone. Sia Terms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Watching sports is a very fun thing to do all by itself, but sometimes it can be even better when you have a little bit more on the line than just your regular rooting interest, if you know what I mean. But if you don't live in a state that has a sports book, how are you supposed to get in on all the action? Well, thanks to our friends at NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market, people in over 35 states now have unprecedented access to all of the hottest plays around the world of sports. And better yet, if you sign up and make a minimum $5 purchase with code FTN at checkout, not only you get to join in on all the NoVig fun, but we will email you a promo code for a free month of a GOAT subscription for free. That's right. Unlock our top flight subscription that gets you all of our premium content, betting models, and expert picks across the world of sports. If you've ever wondered what an FTN GOAT subscription would be like, this is a great way to find out. So all you got to do is go to NoVig.us or download the NoVig app. Give them all the information they're looking for, make a minimum $5 purchase, but make sure to include that code FTN at checkout to get in on the NoVig fun and unlock a free month of our GOAT tier subscription for free for an entire month. Seems like a pretty good time if you ask me. So go ahead and sign up for NoVig, America's number one sports prediction market.
This one, it's a tough position because I think there are a couple names that people are really stoked about. And then after that, it's kind of a pick your poison, do what you got to do kind of position. So let's just start with you. Who do you have in your top five? And what are kind of just your overall thoughts on the class itself? Because I think kind of zooming out might be a little bit more helpful for tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll be honest, like, I think it's weaker at the top than people realize. Like, Kenny and Sadiq sits at a tight end one for me, but I'm out on Kenny and Sadiq. I will not be drafting him in any of my drafts unless he falls substantially. I'll get into that after we name our top five. I think that's a little bit of a hot take. Follow with Eli Stowers, which I don't necessarily think is too much of, again, a hot take there. I see him pretty much consistently there at two. I got is it Max Clair? Am I saying his last name correctly?
I believe so.
Yeah. Max Clair at three again. Nothing too wild there. But I think where I tend to be a little different, I have Justin Jolie at four, and then I'm going Michael Trigg at five. I would say even though Kenyon Sadiq sits at one for me, I'm out on him. And then I definitely am a little bit higher on Justin Jolie. Shout out to John Arrington, who's been on here a couple times. He always, every year he gets a couple players that aren't on my radar to kind of be on my radar, and Jolie's definitely going to be one of them. So, again, just to kind of go over that before I pass it to you, is Sadiq, but not happy about it, Stowers, Claire, Jolie, and Trigg.
We have a very similar list. Almost had Michael Trigg in my top five, but he is just outside. Mine goes Kenyon Sadiq, Oregon, at number one, Eli Stowers at number two. I think the conversation between him and Sadiq is a lot closer than people are giving it credit for. That'd be my little cliffhanger note that we can pick up on as the conversation unfolds. Then Max Clair at number three. But then I have Sam Roush from Stanford at number four. I just think he has an NFL bloodline. He has multiple relatives that have played in the NFL. I think his grandfather or like his uncle or something was an NFL Hall of Famer. I never remember his name, but he's like a really famous dude. I'll have to Google it. And he just did all the stuff that you want a tight end to do really well in the drills down in Mobile when I saw him. So like Vibe City, he was pretty cool. And then Justin Jolie at number five. I also see the excitement of our friend John Arrington. He could be kind of cool.
All right. I mean, like, I think for me, it's like, you know, why, like, Sadiq is at one. I get it. I think he's going to get the draft capital. It's a real big reason why he's at one. But I think there's a couple things I need to highlight. One, production sucks. Didn't do shit. Didn't do anything as a freshman. As a sophomore, like, didn't do much. And then had it, you know, 560 for eight is a very fine junior year. So production is, all right, bud. Like, okay, you're doing decent there. You know, he tested out of the gym. Like, we need to address that. The guy tested out of the gym. But so did O.J. Howard and so did Eric Ebron. And that's kind of what I'm getting at here is, like, I love that this guy crushes it in pajamas and gym shorts, but the tape and the production doesn't match. The guy's a great athlete, but doesn't mean he's a good tight end nor a good football player. So I think he's going to be those players that will be, like, defensive end edge players will push him around easily at the point of contact. You know, I think he's not the best receiver in terms of being able to catch the ball. He can't block very well. I mean, actually, I think his blocking techniques are better than people give him credit for, but they're still not good enough. He's undersized. And when he gets to the NFL, that size is going to matter. I just don't think he's, in my opinion, I don't even know how to describe this, but, like, he's just not like a football player, if that makes sense terms. Like, I just don't, like, he's a great athlete. He tested well, but I just don't think that he's, like, a bona fide football player. And I have concerns of him fizzling out. So I would put him more on that Eric Ebron, OJ Howard trajectory of, hey, these guys tested well. Like, they got good draft capital. Let's get excited about them and draft them. But he's just not a guy, like, I'm going to be consistently behind the consensus on Sadiq. Like, I'm not going to get foolish and be like, all right, he tested out of the gym. He gets first round draft capital. I'm not going to be like, he's undraftable. I could be wrong here, Herms, but, like, whatever he's at, I want to be like 2 to 3 rankings behind my overall rankings with Sadiq, where I'm moving some people, like, you know, other positions, probably wide receiver and running back ahead of Sadiq, because the tape just doesn't show it, man. The tape just doesn't show it. I don't think he's there as a football player. You know, again, hope he succeeds, but at the end of the day, it's just not the risk I'm taking. But I do think it flattens out, and there's some other players here that I have a little bit more to say about. But thoughts on Sadiq? Am I totally off base? Do you see it? Are you excited?
As you were talking through it and highlighting a lot of your explanation behind it, it made me think of, this is not exactly a perfect one-for-one player comp for Kenyon Sadiq, but just in terms of sort of where they were on the development curve, how young they were coming into the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. It's a lot like what happened with David Njoku, because I think he was 20 years old when he came into the NFL. It took him a little bit. You could see the athlete, but you didn't necessarily see the finished product of a tight end. And I think that, you know, you're very right to highlight that. I think that is one of the most difficult things about this position and why it is so hard to be super confident in a lot of that stuff. So I do see some of those parallels with Sadiq. And it's also one of the things, you know, kind of like I was teasing before about Stowers, you know, maybe not being super far behind, because, you know, first and foremost, he won the John Mackey Award last year for being the top tight end in the country. So, hey, look, it doesn't technically mean anything for the pros, but that does mean something. And the fact that he was pretty close in this athletic testing at the combine with Sadiq, it was pretty impressive. He actually had a better broad jump at 11 feet 3 inches, and he had a higher vertical leap at 45.5. I know we're just talking about the athletic stuff, but, you know, the fact that we're talking about Sadiq as if he is this sort of, like, wow, did you see that? Did you see that transcendent performance? And there's a guy who pretty much did very similar stuff right behind him, not really getting the same kind of treatment. Like, I guess that is really what it comes down to for me, and why I think it's a little bit weird. And just the thing that I wanted to get, because I don't know how many people are having these conversations, but I think it is closer between Stowers and Sadiq than maybe I'm perceiving it. And I just want to make sure that that is documented in podcast form, so that way people can remember it.
Herm's certified ball knower. I mean, I want to correct you, because Mackey Award winners, they matter. They matter. Let me just read off the last couple Mackey Award winners: Tyler Warren, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, Kyle Pitts, TJ Hawkinson, Mark Andrews, Hunter Henry. I only missed Jake Butt and Harrison Bryant in that conversation. I mean, Mackey Award winners pretty much been equal to elite tight end. I mean, Tyler Warren, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, Kyle Pitts. Like, we can have Kyle Pitts conversation, but, like, Tyler Warren, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, like, what more are you looking for here, folks? if you need a tight end, just trade back to the start. I mean, you're going to be able to probably get Eli Stowers at the top of the second, and I would much rather spend that capital on him than having to grab Sadiq in the first. So there's some like legitimate actionable knowledge for the listeners here. If you need tight end, just grab Stowers at the top of the second. Let somebody else waste their pick on Sadiq in the first.
Oh man, I'm probably going to end up with a lot of Stowers now. Look at us. Look at us. But obviously there are other names. You know, if there are any guys that you do want to highlight, definitely let's, you know, keep going with some of those guys. But at least for me, I do just want to make it known before we continue. Once we get past Sadiq and Stowers, my confidence drops. Yep. I don't know how much any of these other guys we're going to talk about are going to be any good. That is my preface. Over to you.
So, I mean, like, I don't have anything that I think is going to be crazy that no one knows about Max Clair. But I would like to talk about Justin Jolie sitting at my tight end four. I think he has a good catch radius, and he's just a good catcher of the football. Like, I look at Sadiq, and I'm like, I don't necessarily believe that he's just a naturally gifted catcher of the football. And I feel that way about Jolie when I watch him play. And I think that is a very important aspect of this. It's like, I think he can catch the ball well, and that's such an important piece of playing the tight end position for fantasy, at least. Okay. You know, he can line up everywhere. I think he's a good athlete. You know, I think he's decent blocker than people are giving him credit for. Yeah, he's a little bit small and undersized. Could the yards after the catch be a little bit better? Certainly. But to me, he's a guy that's like, if you ask me and say, hey, Tyler, I can't spend an early round pick on a tight end, but I need to kind of work up my tight end room in dynasty. I need to build it up. Like, what's a guy I can take, you know, in the third round that, you know, could be a decent swing at the tight end position? And my answer to that is Justin Jolie.
I think he could be pretty fun. I mean, for me, the only reason he's not a little bit higher is just because I think he is a little bit more of that, you know, sort of catch first tight end, which is perfectly fine. I mean, obviously you want guys who are very good at being pass catchers to be your tight end, but just in terms of kind of putting them in archetypal buckets, I always worry a little bit about that, because if there is a risk of you being rotated out for blocking assignments, that's less time on the field, less opportunity, etc. But, you know, he did spend a lot of time in the slot when he was down at the Senior Bowl, and I thought his performance running out of there was pretty impressive. Like, he does definitely have that natural ability to him. I think the nickname that I came up for him was "We Have Evan Engram at Home," but okay. Like not necessarily in a disparaging way, but like, you know, he is like slightly smaller, but if they are just cool with him being the catch first guy and they give him a lot of, you know, slot opportunities in addition to being able to line up in line sometimes, he could end up being pretty versatile. I like Justin Jolie a lot. But any other names at all before we get out of here for the tight end, or honestly any other position? If there's just a name that you didn't mention at all that you want to bring up, I guess now is the time.
No, man, I'm good to roll out of here. We've talked a lot of rookies over the last couple of weeks here. I'm just really excited to get over here to the draft to see where things land. We can really start putting the pieces together and finalizing those rings, man.
Absolutely. And we will continue to have all sorts of great NFL draft coverage over at ftnfantasy.com. Be sure to check out the website for all things about the football. We are now officially back in MLB season. If you are a fantasy baseball head, spend time over at ftnfantasy.com for that too. Whatever you need, we have it for you. Thank you so much for listening to us in this episode. Wrapping up our 2026 rookie rankings, we will talk to you all again very soon. Adios.